Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, Apple, wherever you downloaded us from. Thanks very much for doing so. 50,000 of you, we can't all be wrong. We're talking with Sarah, and Sarah, correct my pronunciation, Ivins, I would guess, of the last name. Her book is called Forest Therapy, Seasonal Ways to Embrace Nature for a Happier You. This is podcast 944. The B segment is always the guests. And forest therapy is interesting, Sarah, because we know how important getting out in nature is. Is that right? Is that the gist of it, is that you can be happier when you take some time every day to get outside?
Absolutely. Not only happier, but we are healthier mentally, physically. Our social lives improve. The research that has been done around forest therapy over the last 20, 30 years has been astounding, to the point that it benefits every part of our lives. And I have personal experience of this, which is what really prompted me to write this book. And as you said in the intro, it really should be something that we all know and we're all doing, but we've kind of forgotten how to. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to my friends and family. And I feel that's sort of what's happened to society, really, which is why now forest therapy, or whether you're calling it forest bathing or nature therapy, or just a simple like walk in the woods to reconnect with nature, is becoming a bit of a social health movement right now, because we have forgotten how to do it and we do need to be reminded of how good it feels.
Now, Sarah, one of the things that we worry about, if you will, is that there are diseases moving into the animal species that inhabit the woods with us. And those, for example, tick-based or deer tick-based therapy, at least here in the Northwest, I don't know if you've got it in where you live in Austin, Texas, but at least in the Northeast, we're having to dress more and put on DEET, et cetera, when we go out, because of the high prevalence of deer ticks just every place in where you might walk in the woods. Is this inhibiting go ahead, I'm sorry.
We don't have, that's not a big issue for where I am in Austin, Texas, but believe me, we have a lot of other problems. I was swimming in a river at the weekend and a snake approached, and it's very exciting, and mosquitoes were a huge issue. I think the thing is with nature, it's easy to be scared and to find an excuse to, it's safer just to stay inside in the air conditioning. It's safer just to be on our devices, in our safe little enclosed world. But they are excuses, and you can, as long as you're following the correct advice and you're putting safety first, then you can still get out. And perhaps there are areas you have to avoid or certain seasons you have to avoid, but in general you can get out. And when I'm talking about embracing nature, I don't mean that you have to go on a day-long hike into a forest where you know there are issues. The research shows that taking a walk in your local park is really good for you, that the benefits can last for hours afterwards. I found so incredible, a lot of research has been done just on looking at images of nature and looking at the color green, and your spirits lift, cortisol in your system decreases, stress dissipates. There's so many things you don't have to, because I'm honestly a bookworm who likes sitting down. My favorite outdoor pursuit is a picnic, but I've had to learn that I can get out and make it work for me. So you don't have to hike through the woods in an intense way with wild animals around. I'm totally up for you. If it works for you and it gets you outside, taking a picnic out into the park, lying down on a blanket and looking up at the clouds. This is what this book is about, really, that I've written. It's for people like me that aren't naturally massively sporty, adventurous, hiking type, but they know that their mental and physical health will improve from getting out, blowing away the cobwebs, and just shaking up their lifestyle a bit, really, for going back to how we were as children, because that's what I really, really remember. and it's been a bit huge part of this book, is how I, embraced the seasons when I was a child, how I found adventure and excitement in puddles, in rainstorms, in watching the clouds move, in watching wiggly worms in the soil. And now when you become a teenager, it starts to fade a bit. And then when you become an adult, you think you should be in a gym, in an office, in a bar, and you lose that connection. And it's really not doing us any favours at all. And then when I became a mother myself 8 years ago, this all really, really hit me.
Sarah, you got to let me interrupt to get you a question every now and then.
Sorry.
So one of the things that you point out in the book is that it's much less expensive to do this. For example, in Cleveland, we have the Metro Park system, which is free and is a magnificent set of parks. So most parks are low cost or free, and getting out in nature is a much lower cost way of exercise and commuting than virtually anything else. Is that right? That's what you do with your child.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. With your child, or even, I've just cancelled my gym membership because every morning now I go for a walk. We have a local, a forest walk in the city of Austin by the river, and I do that every morning now instead of paying a gym membership. And, I'm wearing my Fitbit and the exercise is the same. And also, yeah, with children, we're sort of turning ourselves into taxi drivers and, children entertainers. And it's not doing the children any good, or us really. It costs a fortune. It could be hassle fighting traffic or doing whatever else you're doing. You don't have to pay for them to go in a jumpy house. You can take them to a park, take them to a river, the beach, and they'll really get more out of it, possibly, because out in nature, they're not being force-fed sort of parent or adult-led activities. They're actually allowed to use their imagination more.
The great thing now is all of the different things you can do out in nature. So with your kids in the winter, when I grew up in a northern climate in probably some of the worst weather in Buffalo, New York, but we really looked forward to it because we would sled and we would skate and do all kinds of things using the cold weather to our advantage. So as an adult, I think of shoveling and not as happy, if you will, with that. But in fact, I decided I would compete in the shoveling Olympics in my own foolish way and enjoy it. But you can make games and enjoy things and do things in cold and warm weather, et cetera, right?
Absolutely.
So what do you do in Austin? It must get hot, right?
It is so hot. It is such a hot city. So, it has been known to hit 100 degrees for 30 days in a row, which is quite rough. And I'm from England, you can probably tell. So I'm used to a much more rainy, cloudy kind of environment. But out in Austin, Texas, really, water is key. And getting out early. So we just learn to make more of the mornings and after, as the sun is setting. So sunset hikes are a really lovely thing to do, in the warmer summer months. And just looking for water, and I don't mean just having to go to a swimming pool. We're really lucky here that there's beautiful rivers and swimming holes all around that we, as long as you have the right water shoes, which, to be honest, you can pick up for $5, you can go and explore the rocks, look in rock pools, try and find toads, tadpoles. It's really fun. It's a fun thing to do, and every season has a different way to learn and grow, and for children to learn about nature rather than being closed off in a world where they're just looking at a screen, which we all do. We're all guilty of, and this is just a good step away from that indoor childhood that we're all sort of aiming for at the moment.
Well, I want to thank you very much on talking about this because it's such an important subject. The book is called Forest Therapy by Sarah Ivens, IVENS, Seasonal Ways to Embrace Nature for a Happier You. Now, Sarah, tell us one of the most unusual ways you've embraced nature.
Well, I probably got the green fever, for about 10 years ago when I was in Japan. And which is actually where the movement of forest bathing or Shirinyaku as it's called in Japanese, started. It began in the 1980s in Japan because the government there were noticing that although people were earning more and the standard of living should have been going up, people were actually getting more depressed. And a lot of money and a lot of time later, the researchers realized that there was a link. Yes, everyone was wealthier and they should be happier, but they were trapped indoors in offices working harder. So they pushed this whole idea of nature therapy, getting outside more, and set up all these walking trails. Now, 10 years ago, I was having trouble. I'd been married for a couple of years. My husband and I couldn't conceive. I was getting depressed. His dad then died. He was depressed. And we decided to go to Japan to find new ways to calm ourselves down, analyze our life, and restock, really, and see what we needed to do to change. And we're very, very lucky we got to go out to one of these nature trails that started this whole movement, really. And a lovely guide there, a totally zen, cool dude, took us on one of these trails and just told us to reuse our senses, to stop rushing, looking at our feet, navel gazing, always worrying about tomorrow, and just to live in the moment and re-engage our senses. And it was really one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had. And it was something that I then brought back to America with me and tried to remember. Obviously, not as easy when you're not in like a Zen forest in the middle of Kyoto. But still, I went back to Louisville, Kentucky, where I lived at the time. And it was still pretty awesome and really changed my connection with like my own stress and the outdoors. It really was. It was cool. Totally cool.
And you did get pregnant.
I did, yeah. So that was really, and I honestly believe that the lowering of stress that this change to my lifestyle did, this like stopping worrying and being inside and looking for problems and surrounding myself with walls and grey and this movement out where every day I would just take a walk, even if it was just down my street and admire the blossom or whatever, it really changed me. It changed something physically inside me. Certainly mentally. And I did get pregnant a year and a half later. So Mother Nature is cool, you know. She does her thing, hopefully. You know,
one
it really
of the
works
things
for
you
me.
Said, one of the games you said to play, which I really enjoyed, was look mm-hmm. for triangles or look for squares or look for circles in nature as you're out. That is, observe nature from a different perspective when you're walking in it. Can you talk
yeah.
a little bit more about how you do that?
Yeah, well, I'm always just trying to find ways of getting my kids outside and getting. I have two now. I have an 8-year-old boy and a 5-year-old girl, and sometimes they're like all of us. They just want to sit and watch TV, and I sort of treat them like animals, really. That they have to get outside every day, and they moan at first sometimes, and then they always are happy that I've done it. But anyway, so in the book, and I've listed a few different things you could do with children, and one of them is just. I think it's so easy for us these days to just. Ignore nature, ignore the seasons, ignore the weather. And that's just a game I came up with my children to actually, they were learning their different shapes at the time. So can you see any rocks that are shaped like hearts? Can you see any stars in the flowers? Can you see any squares in the rocks or the pebbles by the river? And it just makes them use their brains differently. And there is a lot of research about how children learning in nature, it does spark different creativity in them. And so they are learning all the time. And you can see that reflected in the fact that a lot of countries now have introduced forest schools into the general education system in Scandinavia, in Germany, and in Britain, where I'm from. Forest schools are a very big part of the new education.
What's a forest school?
A forest school is a school where the emphasis isn't just on sitting in a classroom and learning your ABCs and your 1-2-3s. It's about getting out and using nature as a way to build like community, to build a sense of teamwork. Like, can you build a fort in the playground together? And teaching them the maths of that, the engineering of that, how to work with friends, how to be strong and be brave. When you grow up, I grew up in the 70s and 80s in London, and we were sort of encouraged to climb trees and find fallen petals on the street and mush them into perfume and sniff them and see what happened and if we'd made a perfume. We were sort of encouraged to make our own entertainment and to be brave and to try new things. There's definitely a movement in parenting that I've discovered since becoming a parent that you sort of want to protect your children and helicopter over them, making sure that you control and judge every single thing they do. And so in a way, for me, forest therapy is a way of going back to my own childhood and teaching children that they, you know, they can go and look for insects and they can head out into a river as long as they're safe and they're with a parent and they're being sensible. Like, honestly, safety at all times. But I think we've done too much at wrapping our children up in cotton wool and not letting them experience the things that we did as children.
We're talking with Sarah Ivens, I-V-E-N-S, the author of Forest Therapy, Seasonal Ways to Embrace Nature for a Happier You. It's from Lifelong Books. Sarah, final words, final things you want to tell us and tell the listeners, you, the Owner's Manual radio podcast.
Yeah, well, I'd love to just say that it sounds like common sense that we should all get outside and take a walk and, you know, smell the roses, literally. But unfortunately, common sense isn't very common anymore, and we've forgotten it, and we spend more time in our cars these days than we do outside, and that's kind of sad. So just by thinking of forest therapy, nature therapy is a way of reconnecting with your best self or your childhood self and getting out there. The mental and the physical benefits are countless. They really are. There's not one part of your life that won't be better. And if you think of engaging with nature as a practice or a process, sort of like joining a book club or doing yoga or praying or whatever it is that you do that you know makes you feel better, it will become easier and become more part of your life, and you won't regret it.
Well, Sarah, thank you very much for coming on. Forest Therapy, Sarah Ivens' book, is available on Amazon and probably every other place you can find it, find books. Sarah Ivens, I-V-E-N-S, Forest Therapy, Seasonal Ways to Embrace Nature. This is You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast number 944B. Thanks very much for downloading us and listening. Do rate us. We'll be back next week with another podcast. And remember, the A is the news of the week and what it means to you. The B, our guests. Thanks again, Sarah. Thank you, Kevin, for engineering. And especially thank you, the listener. You're what motivates us to do better. Thanks again.